Begin the current daf, Masechtas Makos, daf Yud Aleph. Begin on the bottom of Yud Mem Beis, on the bottom line. The Gemara continues the discussion of this parak regarding the halachas of someone who kills by mistake, who goes into galus to the Ari Miklat, to the cities of refuge. So the Gemara says, Amr B'chamer B'chanin, it says, Mevneiman Nemer Parshas Reitzchem. Why was it said regarding the parasha of someone who kills by mistake, as you get tin top of Yud Aleph, and Aleph, Beloshen Aza, in a strong terminology, where in the entire Sefer Yeshua, it always says Vayomer Hashem, which is the softer way Hashem spoke to Yeshua. Here, the Chassid says in Sefer Yeshua, when it talks about the parasha of the Ari Miklat, it says Vayedaber Hashem LeYeshua Lamer, that Hashem spoke with Lashon Dibur to Yeshua, saying, where Dibur is a terminology of strength, of strong, Dabel B'nei Yisrael Lamer, speak to the Jewish people, saying, Tnu lechem es Ari HaMiklot, asher dibarte lechem ugrimer, give for yourselves the cities of refuge which I have spoken to you, etc. Why does he use over here specifically a strong terminology? Says the Gemara, M'nei Shein Shal Torah, because these are the words of the dictates of the Torah. Meaning all the other things that Hashem said to Yeshua and Savior Yeshua, he wasn't telling him things that to fulfill the words which are written in the Torah, except for this. This is the one place where he said, tell the Jewish people, this is one of the mitzvahs that I have said in the Torah, and I want you to tell them to fulfill that mitzvah. So since it was referring back to something written in the Torah, which is something very important, therefore here he used the strong language of Dibur. So the Gemara asks, Lamemah the Chol Dibur Lashon Kasha, is that to say, wherever you use the terminology in the Torah, Dibur, it's a harsh, strong terminology? Says the Gemara, in, yes, Kedachsilik, it says the Pasuk in Bereishis, where they said to Yaakov, the brothers of Yosef, that they said, Dabar ha'ish adayin ha'aretz eitanu kashas, the man, they didn't know it was Yosef, spoke with us very strong words. You see with that it says the word Dabar and kashas, you see that Dibur is a strong terminology. On that the Gemara has, but Vatanya learned the Braisa, where it speaks about the Pasuk in Malachi that says that then it was Nidburu, that then those who feared God spoke one to the other, where the Braisa says, "Ein nidburu el loshen nachas." When we're saying that these Tamid HaChama speaking one with the other, it's a language of peacefulness, of calmness. Chayinor Mesutu says, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Yadbur am tachtenu," that he directs the nations beneath us, and in that way, it's saying a terminology of willingly, which is a peaceful type of a way. So how can you say Dibur is strong and harsh when it sounds like that it's something more calm? Says the Gemara, no, daber luchud, the word dibur itself is harsh. Yadber luchud, when it says yadber, which is a terminology of leading, there it's a terminology of nachas, and therefore it's not a contradiction, but dibur itself is kasha, and that's what the Gemara says, that here is kasha, because referring back to the words of the Torah, the dictates of one of the mitzvahs of Ari Miklat. Now the Gemara actually brings Simani, Rabbanan Mehemni Besafri, where the Gemara brings three different machlekes in that Rabbi Yehuda has with others. The first one is regarding the halacha that we just said. Pligiba Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. There's actually machlekes regarding why does it say a loshen aza, a terminology of dibur by Sefer Yeshua in the one place regarding Ari Miklat. One of them, either Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan, says it's because Yeshua delayed separating the three Ari Miklat in Eretz Yisrael immediately when he had the opportunity until HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and told him. So, since that was something that he had done wrong, so Hashem spoke to him in a strong language. The other one says, as we said before, because it was one of the halachas of the Torah that he was telling him to fulfill, and therefore he spoke to him in a lashon kasha, that of Dibur. Another machlek is Rabbi Yehuda has with others. It says in the pasuk, V'yichtav Yeshua sadevar ma'elu b'sefer Torah selikim, that Yeshua wrote these words in the sefer of the Torah of God. So, Pligiba Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya says, Machlik Rabbi Nechemya, regarding how to explain this pasuk, what was it that Yeshua wrote in the Sefer Torah of Hashem? Chara Emer Shemayna Pesukim. One of them says it's the eight Pesukim from the pasuk at the end of the Torah and Sefer Devarim that says, Vayomisha Moshe, that Moshe died over there until the end. Well, Moshe can't write it because it's saying that he died. Obviously, he's not alive to write the last eight Pesukim. It was Yeshua who wrote that in Sefer Torah Selikim. Chara Emer, the other one says it's Ari Miklat. It's referring to the cities of refuge, which that halacha is written in Sefer Yeshua, as we just mentioned before. That's what it means that he wrote these words in Sefer Torah Selikim. So the Gemara explains. Bishlam l'man d'machaz p'sukim, according to the one who says that it's referring to the eight p'sukim, sahayin d'chsib, Sefer Torah Selikim, we understand what it means when it says Yeshua wrote this in the Sefer Torah of Hashem, it's actually in the Sefer Torah, in Sefer Dvar. Elamandam or Miklat, according to the one that says it's referring to the cities of refuge, my b'sefer Torah Selikim, what does it mean in the Sefer Torah? It's not written in the Sefer Torah, in Torah, it's written in Nach, in Sefer Yeshua. Says the Gemara, Hachakam, this is what it means. V'yichtav Yeshua b'sifra, Yeshua wrote in his own sefer of Yeshua, Esad Dvarim Ha'ela, these words, Hakesuv Mesevet HaSlikim, which are written in the Tzeva Torah, meaning, as we said, this is the one thing written in Sefer Yeshua, that's one of the mitzvahs from the Torah, that's what it means that he wrote in Sefer Yeshua, which is from Sefer Torah HaSlikim. Third machlik is, Sefer Shetvarim B'Pishtim, a Sefer Torah that is stitched with linen, that is the parchment is stitched one with the other to make a Torah scroll. If it's stitched with linen, pligibar behudver remeir. Again, another machlekes behudver with others, in this case remeir, chara mekasher, but chara mepasel, one says that it's kasher, one says it's pasel. As the Gemara explains, lemandam apostle, one that says that it's invalid, because the pasuk says in Shemayit, which the beginning of the pasuk is talking about tefillin, it says, leman tia teres Hashem beficha, so the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. So the iskesh kol haTorah kulo tefillin, we see that the Torah of Hashem is being compared to what the beginning of the pasuk is talking about, tefillin, which teaches us the following halacha. Ma tefillin, just like regarding the tefillin halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, there's a halacha that was handed down from Messiah, from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai. L'tafrin begidin, has to be stitched specifically with sinews, which are parts of the animal, not with linen. Of kol haTorah begidin, so this teaching is all the Torah, meaning the Sefer Torah too, has to be stitched with sinews. But Vidach, the one who says that it's kasher, is ki iskish. When did we compare Sefer Torah to tefillin? Is lamuta beficha, is regarding what it says there in the pasuk when it says lamantia teres Hashem beficha, which the drasha is what's permitted to be in your mouth, meaning that a Sefer Torah cannot be written on the hide, on the leather of a non-kosher animal. It has to be something that's permitted to be put in your mouth, which you can eat. That's what we compare the Torah, the Sefer Torah to tefillin. But l'halchaisa, for something which is one of the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, which is not written in the Torah, and even tefillin itself we only know from halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, like that you have to stitch it with gidin, with sinews, regarding that loy iskish, that we don't learn out from the hekish, and therefore that Sefer Torah is different than tefillin, and by Sefer Torah, if it was stitched with linen, that opinion holds that it would be kasher. Now Amar Rav, he says, a chazin and luhu l'tfilin the Bechaviv. He says, I saw the tefillin of my uncle, I mean his father's brother, which is Reb Chiya, the tefir bechisna, which it was stitched with linen, which the Gemara says, v'lesachas ha-kabaseh, halacha is not like him, and actually some actually have a different girsa, not tefillin, because we say that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that cannot be, but rather, the girsa would be l'sifri, meaning his sefer Torah, and that we're saying it's not like that opinion, but rather like that who says that the sefer Torah is the same as tefillin, that has to be with gidin, with sinews, and not with linen. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on those halachas of, we said, the one who kills by mistake, and then finally on his way to the Ar Miklat, and then when he gets to the Ar Miklat, and now when he's in the Ar Miklat, what does he do now? How does he get out? And that says the Mishnah, Echad Meshuach B'Shem and HaMishcha, whether it's the anointed one with the anointing oil, which are the Kohanim Gadolim that were until the days of Yeshayahu HaMelech, or V'Echad Amru B'Gadim, whether we're talking about a Kohen Gadol that doesn't, which are from the days of Yeshua onwards, where at his time he went and he concealed the Shemen HaMishcha, as the Gemara says in Harias David Beis Amid Aleph, so then they didn't anoint anymore the Kohanim anymore, so it wasn't recognizable who is the Kohen Gadol only by his wearing the four extra vestments, the garments which he wore, the eight garments, or Ve'echach Avim Shechusai, whether we're talking about a Kohen Gadol that was already passed over from his anointment, meaning in the case, so let's say there was an invalidation in the Kohen Gadol, so someone else stepped up in the meantime to be the Kohen Gadol. When the original Kohen Gadol gets healed, so he goes back to his post, so then this one gets demoted from his anointment. Either one of these three, Machzir Neser Ritzeach, that, or actually the Gemara actually asks that if it's either one or all of them together. But when they die, then that returns the one who killed by mistake with their death to go back home, and that he could leave the Ari Miklat, like the Pasuk says, when the Kohen Gadol passed away, then the murderer could leave the Ari Miklat. So now the Mishnah is telling us, it refers to the one that has the anointment, the one who doesn't have, which he just has, however, the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol, or even the one that was temporarily the Kohen Gadol, who was then taken away when the original came back. Reb Yudaim, he adds on the fourth one, he says, Af Meshuach Mulchama, also the one who, the certain kohen that's anointed to say during the war times, the things that are needed during the wartime, like Al Yerech Lavavchem, you guys shouldn't worry, and the whole Indian that's mentioned in Devarim Chav, he's also Machzeh Ritzeach, when he passes away, that helps the Ritzeach leave and go back home to leave the Arim Miklat. So the Mishnah concludes, Lefikach, therefore, since the release of the one who murdered by mistake is contingent on the death of the Kohen Gadol, So therefore, imaisein shel kahanim, the mothers of the kahanim, mesapkes lehen michya b'ksus, would provide food and clothing for these murderers, kadesh le'yispallo b'nei shemus, that they should not daven, that their son should die, because that releases contingent. They're not going to daven anymore, because so that they know that these mothers give them everything, cake and food and clothing and everything, so that they shouldn't daven, that their son should pass away. So the Gemara says, "Minan Amidah, where do we know this halacha that these three kahanim gedolim, when they pass away, that's the release of the ritzach?" So Amar Rav Kahana, he says, "The Amar Krakas, the pasuk says b'midbar, it says b'yashav ba, that the murderer should dwell over there in the ir miklut ad moisa kahan gadol, until the death of the high priest." That's one. Ksiv, it says later on, "Ki be'ir miklut yeshav, because in the city of his refuge he should stay ad moisa kahan gadol, until the death of the kahan gadol." That's two. Uksiv, and it says over there, "Va'achrei moisa kahan gadol, until the death." Until after the death of the Kohen Gadol, then the Ritzach goes back. That's three. You see a reference to three different types of Kahanim Gedolim. Now the Gemara says, and Rabbi Huda, who adds in the fourth one of the Meshuach Mochama, he says, Ksiv Karachina, there's a pasuk, another pasuk later on, that says, Loshuv L'Sheves Ba'arts, to go back to dwell in the land, Ad Moisa Kohen, until the death of the Kohen. So you see a fourth reference. Which the Gemara says, V'idach, but the Tanakam would tell you that no, Medelei Ksiv HaGadol, there it doesn't say the term the high priest. Rather, it must be Chad Mahanachu, just referring back to one of those three we mentioned before, and therefore it's not a reference to a fourth Kohen Gadol. Now the Mishnah said, L'fikachim yusein shakanim v'chul, they were the mothers of the kanim, they provide stuff for the murderers so that they shouldn't daven that their son should pass away. So the Gemara asks, time and delay matzlo. It sounds like, yeah, the reason why their sons will live is if they don't pray. Hamatzlo maisi, but if these murderers pray that their son should die, then they'll die. On that, as the Gemara Baksiva, the pasuk says, "Mishle katzipar lanu, like a bird to jump, kadrer la'uf, like a swallow, a type of a bird to fly. Ken kilaschinim, so too is the curse that's for nothing." Meaning, loytava, it's not going to come because it's not deserving. So, what's these mothers afraid? What, this murderer is going to pray that her son, the biggest tzaddik in the world, the high priest, is going to die because of his prayers? We see that a curse that comes for nothing doesn't come to fruition. So the Gemara says, "Amahu sabe." So that certain elder said, Mipirki de Rava Shemeli, he says, I heard this from the lecture of Rava, that the reason why it's not considered kilas chinam is shahayilan lavakesh rachim maldairin. The Kohen Gadol should have beseeched mercy for their generation. V'loy bikshu, and they didn't. And that's why something like this, a travesty happened, that this guy ended up killing by mistake. So there, it's not a kilas chinam, it's not a curse from this person for nothing. There is some flaw, somewhat, in the Kohen Gadol, and therefore that curse would come to fruition, and that's why the mothers go and appease these murderers not to pray that their son should pass away. Now, Beka Damasne, those who learn a slightly different girsa in our Mishnah, that the mothers would provide stuff for the murderers, Kadeshi is Palu al Benein Shle Musu. Not that they shouldn't daven that they should die, that they should pray for their sons that they shouldn't die. So the Gemara asks, and this version, so that sounds like time of the matzah. The only reason why their sons will not die is because these murderers are praying for the Kohen Gadol to stay alive. Halei matzlu maisi, but if they don't daven, then the Kohen Gadol will pass away. So I'm asking, my have leilam evid. What do you mean? What should the Kohen Gadol have done? Hacha amrin, and here in Bavel we say a mashal, a parable regarding when someone gets hurt because of someone else doing something wrong. Tuv yichata, tuv yisins, v'zigud mingud, and zigud gets lashes. And this is because of a certain incident that happened, as the Gemara brings in Ari B'sachem, that tuv yit sinned. Now, Zigud came and he testified himself with no second witness with him. So, Rav Papa went and gave lashes to Zigud because, what are you doing? You're saying Lashon Hara. The only way you're allowed to come and testify is if there's going to come something out of it. Here, when you're one witness, nothing's going to come out of it anyway. On that, Zigud gave a response, Tov yachata, tov yasins, v'zigud mingud, and Zigud gets lashes. And from then on, that became the parable, the phrase, when someone does something wrong and someone else gets hit because of it, what? He sins and I get lashes? Where Hassam Amri, there in Eretz Yisrael, they say the same mashal in a different way. Shechem Nosef, Shechem gets married, Umavgai goes, and Mavgai goes and he has to cut off his foreskin. Meaning Shechem, the son of Hamor, from the biblical incident where he took Dinah, the daughter of Yaakov Avinu, and all the benefit was his, that he's going to marry her, and all the rest of the people of the city, which was the idea of Shimon and Levi, that they're not even getting anything out of it. They have to go and they have to circumcise themselves and go through all the pain, where Mavgai is just the name of one of the Shechemites. Which is basically what the Gemara's question is. What do you mean? This guy murders and the Kohen Gadol takes the fall? On that, Omar Hahu Saba, that's what that elder said. Mipika de Rav Shmilei, from the lecture of Rav I heard, Shahoyle and Lavakash Rachim Maldorim Le Bikshu. Yes, they take the fall. If the murder's not going to daven for the safety of the Kohen Gadol, he's actually going to die because it's his fault. He should have beseeched mercy for his generation, and he didn't. And that's why this travesty happened, that this guy killed by mistake. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol will pass away. Unless these murderers daven, then nothing should happen to the Kohen Gadol. As the Gemara brings, Ki hada hu gavra de achle arye, we see that the tzaddik of the generation is actually the one who takes the responsibility when others do something wrong. Where we find that there was a certain person that a lion consumed him, at a distance of 3 parsi, which is pretty far away from Shimon Levi, and did not speak to him for 3 days. In other words, he held him responsible because something else is happening over there. It's the fault of the tzaddik because he should have been mevakesh racham on the zar, and he didn't. A similar concept, which we were asking, what do you mean? If it's a killas chinam, if it's a curse for nothing, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, then leitavi shouldn't come. However, Amr Rav Yehuda Merav, he says, killas chacham, but the curse of a sage, a filib chinam he bought, even if it's for nothing, it does come to fruition. Says Gemara Menolim, where do we know this from? Me'achi Taifel, which is Shebeshash Shekara David Sheetan. At the time when David was digging the foundations of the base of Migdash, kafa tahayma, so the waters from the abyss was floating up to the top, threatening to flood the entire world. As the Talmud Yerushalmi brings that, because David, when he was digging up, they found a piece of earthenware, which was screaming up and telling David, don't remove me from here, because I am covering over the waters of the abyss from the day of the giving of the Torah when the whole earth shook, and David did not listen to it, and he took it, and then, boi l'mishfatei alma, so the water wanted to flood the entire world. So Amar, so David said, ma'u lichtav shem achaspa, what's halacha, can we write the name of Hashem on the earthenware, on pitha, a shard of earthenware, where the concern is maybe that if they're going to throw it in, the water is going to erase the name of Hashem, which is a violation where it says in Devarim Yud Beis that regarding the idols, that if you bat them Hashem, you have to erase their names. In contrast, the Pasuk says, Lo yisasa kem l'Hashem l'kech, I'm not supposed to do that to Hashem your God. There's a prohibition of erasing Hashem's name. So he wanted to know, could we write the name of Hashem and throw it into the abyss, delekha duchte, so that should calm the water down and not flood the world. So like a Damalei Midi, there was no one that said anything. So Amma David HaMelech said, Kol Yedei Dover Zeh Ve'Eino Omer, whoever knows this halacha and is not saying it, Yichonik Begrenya should get choked in his throat. So Nasa Achitefel Kavochem Ba'atm, so Achitefel, one of the wise Tamid HaChacham over there, thought of a Kavochemer for himself. Now, which actually Rashi says is pretty interesting, because David HaMelech did not acquire this granary from Aravna HaYivusi, which was where the Beis HaMikdash was built, until a certain incident of Hasasa, which he went and he counted the Jewish people, which was inappropriate, which was after the death of Achitofel by 3 years. So how could Achitofel be here at the incident of the building of the Beis HaMikdash? Rashi actually says, you have to say that even though he didn't buy the granary until much later, but he knew from his youth, when he was anointed, that him and Shmuel went to this place and they went and they checked, and they went to a place and they checked and saved Yeshua, and they figured out the location of where the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be, as the Pasuk says, Adem Tzemokam until they find the place, as the Gemara Dash and Mesech Tzvachim Nef Nadal Mabez. And once he found the place, he went and he dug the foundations with the permission of the owner, even though, you're right, he didn't ultimately buy it until much later, but this incident happened even before he bought it, and at that time Achitofel was around. So Achitofel went and made a Kavachemer, Amen, he said, if to make peace between a husband and wife. Amra HaTaira, the Torah says, Shmi Shenichta B'Kedusha, my holy names of Hashem, which is written in sanctity, Yim Chalamayim, is dissolved on the water, because it says in the parasha of Saita, Umochel Me'amarim, that you erase the name of Hashem in the bitter waters, where it says many of Hashem's name in that parasha. And even though it says, Umochel, that you erase Hashem's name in the water. So So not just to make peace between a man and a woman, but to save the whole entire world. Like Kalshagan, isn't a Kabochem, all the more so that one could erase Hashem's name. So Amalei Shari, so he said to David, it's permitted. So Kasav Shem Achasba, so David wrote the name of Hashem on a piece of earthenware. Shadi Atayim, he threw it into the abyss. And Nachas to become Adukhti, it calmed down and it stayed in its place. Now this was a curse that David HaMelech had made for nothing, because he was only cursing only if he doesn't say. And Achitofel said, "Vafalachik seven." Still, it says in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis that much later on, Achitofel ra kiloi nasa atzasa, which is regarding a different incident that Achitofel saw that his counsel was not done, which was to have a rebellion against David. V'yachvesh asachamor, so he saw that it was not going to be successful anymore. He went and he saddled his donkey. V'yokam yelech al beisai al ira. He went and he got up and went to his house, to his city. V'yitzav al beisai, and he gave a certain last command to his household. V'yichonik v'gemi, he went and he choked himself. So we see that David's curse of being choked in the throat was fulfilled in Achitofel, even though that was a curse for nothing. So to Omer Bavo, he says, Kilas Chachem, the curse of a sage, Afila al Tanai, even if it's based on a condition, and that reason of why the curse was, that stipulation was not fulfilled, meaning the reason why the curse was not there, even so, he bought, still ends up coming. Manol, where do we know this? From Eli, the Kayan. The Kamala Eli Shmuel, Eli said to Shmuel, as it says in Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, this is what a God should do to you, and he should increase to do that. If you hold back from me the word, where that was a curse on the condition, if he's not going to tell him. Now, although it says later on, it says right after that, Shmuel told him all the words, and he didn't hold back from him. So that the reason for the curse, the tanai, the stipulation, was not there, because he didn't hold back from him. Even so, the curse was fulfilled. Because as it says, Ksiv, it says later on, that the sons of Shmuel did not go in his ways, which was the curse that Eli had given him, that this is what should happen to you, like what's happened to me, that my sons, said Eli, were not appropriate, so too was it that your sons are not going to be appropriate. And that curse happened, even though it was a klala al tnai. So too, we continue to Amud Beis, the Gemara says a similar halacha, Amar Yehuda Merav, he says, nidur al tnai, someone being excommunicated on a stipulation, tzar chafar, it still has to be, even though it was fulfilled, it has to be nullified. Where do we know this? From Yehuda. Tachsev, where it says in the pasuk that he said to Yaakov, when he was afraid to send down Binyamin because they had to go back to Yosef again. So he said, if I don't go ahead and bring it back to you, so like the pasuk says, and I'll be considered a sinner to you, which is the terminology of nidui, which is that I'm going to be excommunicated to you, my father. And he ultimately did bring him back. Yet in spite of that, says, it doesn't mean the pasuk in Devarim that says, that Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life, when he was giving the blessings to the Jewish people, was going tribe by tribe, he said that Reuven should live and not die, etc. And this should be for Yehuda. So the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu see fit to put Yehuda right after Reuven? And what did he see fit to start off the blessing of Yehuda by saying the words, and this for Yehuda? So the reason is because the bones of all the Shvatim, their skeleton was intact. In contrast, however, Kol Eisin Mem Shana Shai Yisrael Bamidbar, all the 40 years that Jews were in the desert on the way to Eretz Yisrael, Atzmaisiv Shal Yehuda Hayim Mugolgolim Ba'aron. The bones, however, on Yehuda were shaking around in the coffin. It wasn't, his skeleton was not intact. Atcha Amin Moshe Ubikash Alav Rachim, until Moshe got up and beseeched mercy for Yehuda. Which again, this is the concept that we see that his bones were in Nidui, and it needed the Hafar, which Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and did, because even though it was on Tanai, and it was fulfilled, it still requires a Hafar, and therefore Yehuda's bones were still in Nidui, it wasn't back to what it should be. So Moshe Rabbeinu got up and beseeched mercy for him, and Amal Afanav, he said in front of Rabbeinu Shalom, he said these words, he said, Yechi Reuven, what does that mean? He said, Rabbeinu Shalom, master of the world, Reuven, his skeleton is intact, as if he's still alive. So on that said, Moshe Rabbeinu mikgarm leRuven sheyaydu, who caused to Reuven that he should admit regarding the incident of the moving of his father's bed, which he moved it from the tent of Rachel's Shifcha into his mother's tent because he felt it was in the front. Who caused them to admit? It was Yehuda. That was the Messiah that they had, that Yehuda admitted by the incident of Tamar, that he went and he had relations with this woman when she was about to take him to be killed, and he says, she's right, it was for me. That caused Reuven to admit. And therefore said Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'zayis Yehuda, and this is going to be for Yehuda, that his bones are shaking around. If Reuven, who is intact, because he admitted, and who caused him to admit? Yehuda. So Yehuda, who is the cause for Reuven, his bones should be rolling around. And that's because all the bones of the Shvatim, they left Egypt, and their sons carried it through the Midbar, like Yosef said to his brothers, take my bones out with you when you go out, which this is the reference that Moshe Rabbeinu was making. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shama Hashem Kal Yehuda, that Hashem should hear the voice of Yehuda. So, all Avrei L'Shafa. So the bones went back to where they should be connected, where they came out from, because they wasn't intact, it was rolling around. When the Moshe Rabbeinu made that request, so, and Hashem heard that taina of Moshe Rabbeinu, so then the bones came back to their place. But still, they didn't let him go up to the heavenly yeshiva. So Moshe Rabbeinu continued, as the bracha says over there, "Vel amay tibiyanu." To his people, he should be brought, and then he was brought into the yeshiva shalmala. But lahavaku yodu lemishka lemitzrach b'shmaita b'hadir rabban. He didn't know how to like call handle to be able to give and to take in the Talmudic discourse there in the heavenly mesifta. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked, "Yodav ravloi." he should have the power to fight for himself in the fight of learning with his colleagues, with his chavrusas, with his friends. That's the yod of his mechamta shel Torah. His hands should be great for him. But lo habi yod lefruki kushe. But he still didn't know how to answer questions. That Moshe Rabbeinu asked, "V'ezem mitzarav tia," that help he should have from his foes, meaning they should be able to fight off the questions of those who are asking him questions in his learning. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of our Mishnah, which we mentioned that it's one of these three Kohanim Gedolim. They're all considered Kohanim Gedolim for the release upon their death for the Ritzach. So the Gemara says, "Ibar lo," the following question: "B'misas kulon hu chayzer?" It's only when all of those Kohanim Gedolim. Let's say there's the Mashuach B'Shem HaMishchan, there's Merubah Gadim, and there's the one that's Mashuach Sha'avar. If they're all there, does he need all of their death to be released? Or maybe Amish is telling us, if any one of them die, then that releases him to go back home. So the Gemara says, Tashama, let's prove from the next Mishnah that the Gemara is about to quote. It says, Nigmar Dina B'Lai Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah says, if let's say the verdict of the Ritzach, that he has to go into Golis, was judged when there was no Kohen Gadol at that time, says, we'll see shortly, in Yitzim Misham La'ilim, so he doesn't leave ever. There has to be a Kohen Gadol when he dies, but if there's no Kohen Gadol when his verdict is handed down, so then there's no Kohen Gadol that's taking the fall, taking the blame, so he never leaves the Ari Miklat ever. And that says the Gemara, but then Isa, if it would be true that it's with any one of their deaths that he'd be released, so lehedu be'be dehanach, so let him be released with, let's say, the death of the Merubah B'Gadim, the one who has the 8 vestments, or the one that was demoted from his anointment. Any one of them, if there's more than one, so then even if one is not alive at that time, but then one of the other one died, obviously it's because you need to have all of them to die for his release. And that says, no, maybe B'deleka, maybe it's Tomah, when there are none of them. There is actually none of them at the time that his Gemara Din was, and therefore he's not going to be released, but if there was one, maybe it would be either one of them, and if the Gemara does not answer that question, if it has to be the death of all of them, or any one of them. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, with the Halacha, which we just mentioned. Mishenigmar dinoi, from when the verdict was handed down, we said generally the halacha is, so he gets the verdict, he goes to Galus, and when one of the Kohanim Gedolim, all of them die, then he goes out. And here the Mishnah discusses different types of cases. Let's say Mishenigmar dinoi, the verdict was handed down, this guy we know for sure he killed by mistake, he has to go into Galus. Then, after that, before he ever gets to the Ir Miklod Meis Kangal, the Kangal passes away. Says the Mishnah, Harisa in the Galus, so he doesn't even go into Galus in the first place, which the Gemara will explain the reason, based on the Kal Vachemer. Continues the Mishnah. Im actually nigmar dina meis kohen gadol. Let's say there was a kohen gadol when he murdered by mistake, but before the verdict was handed down, the kohen gadol passed away. Uminu achar tachtov, and then they went and they pointed another kohen gadol during the whole time when his court case was going on. Ula achar mekein nigmar dina, and then after they appointed a new kohen gadol, then the verdict was handed down that he has to go into galus. So chayzu b'misasa shoshenis, so he comes back with the death of the second, the new kohen gadol, which was not appointed until after, and the Gemara will explain the reason for this, because seemingly, why should the death of the second one be the responsibility of this person, which we said is because he didn't daven that, but this guy murdered before this guy was even Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara will explain the reason why he goes back with the death of the second Kohen Gadol. Continues the Mishnah, Nigmar Dina B'loi Kohen Gadol, let's say the verdict was handed down at a time when there was no Kohen Gadol, as we mentioned this halacha before, where they had not yet appointed another Kohen Gadol in place of the first one who had passed away, until this guy already had his verdict handed down that he's going to have to go into Galus. Or, V'ahari Kohen Gadol, if someone actually killed the high priest, or if a Kohen Gadol Shaharik, or the high priest himself that killed, regarding either one of these cases, Einu Yitim Misham La'olam, he never leaves from the Ir Miklat ever, because it's the Kohen Gadol that was there at the time of the Gemar Din, and here either there was no Kohen Gadol, either because there was none, or because he killed the Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol himself was the one who killed, and therefore, he's never going to be allowed to leave the Ir Miklat forever. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, regarding the Ritzach at the time when he's in the Ir Miklat, the halach is, Ve'ini Yetzi doesn't leave from there, Lo Le'edus Mitzvah, not to testify regarding a mitzvah purpose, Lo Le'edus Moment, not to testify regarding a monetary court case, Lo Le'edus Nefash, not to testify regarding a case of capital punishment, Vafil Yisrael Tzrichim Lo'ed, and even if the Jewish people need that person, even if it's such an awesome general for the Jewish people, the way Yoav ben Tzrui was, he never could leave the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge, forever. So like says the pasuk in Bamidbar, again, until the Kohen Gadol dies, or if he's one of those that doesn't have that option, so he never leaves over there. So like says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, it says Ashenas Shama, where he flees to there, which teaches us that he's there Shamte Dirasa, that's where he should dwell. Shamte Mesasa, that's where he's going to die. And Shamte Kvarasa, that's where he's going to be buried. Now says the Mishnah, Kshem Sheir Kailet is just like the city is refuge, saves him. Kach Tchuma Kailet, so to its boundary, its 2,000 Amah boundary around the city, also saves him. Now says the Mishnah, Ritzeach Sheyatza Chutzlachum. And let's say the murderer leaves the boundary of the city. Umatza Gail Adam, and the Redeemer, the Avenger of the Blood, which is the relative of the victim, encounters this Ritzeach. So basically, the Amis says, Mitzvah Beyad Gail Adam, there's a mitzvah for the Redeemer to kill him. V'rishus Beyad Gail Adam, and it's permissible, it's optional for any other person to kill him also. Rabbi Kiva, he disagrees. He says, no, Rishus Beyad Gail Adam, it's optional for the Gail Adam to kill him. B'chol Adam, and actually any other person, Chayav Nalav, are liable for his death if they kill him. They're not allowed to, and if they do, it's like murdering an innocent person. So the Gemara asks regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah. My time, what's the reason if after his verdict, before he goes into Golas, the Kohen Gadol passed away, he doesn't go into Golas? So Amar Abaye says, Kal v'chaymer, it's a Kal v'chaymer. Umami shegolo kvar yotza achshav, if someone that was already in Golas already, when the Kohen Gadol passed away, he goes out, he leaves now. So Mishle Golas, someone that didn't even go yet into Golas. In the Din Shle Gal, isn't it a Kal v'chaymer that he doesn't have to go at all? Because if someone's already there, it's in the worst situation, he leaves here, similar like we find by Amar Avriya, the same type of ideas. So now the Gemara asks, why? V'dil mahay de gola ikapale. No, maybe the one that already went to gola has already got atonement, so when the Kohen Gadol dies, he could be released. Hayde le gola loy, but this guy that never went to gola has never had the atonement, but the Kohen Gadol dies, maybe they should not allow him to not have to go into gola in the first place. Just the Gemara answers, mi de golas kemachaper, do you think that it's only the exile that's the atonement? Mises kain de demachaper, it's the death of the kain that's the atonement, and since that's the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol, as we said previously, and when he dies, that's the atonement for the Ritzach, and therefore he goes free, he doesn't have to go into golas in the first place. Now the Mishnah said, imachale nigmar dina v'chulu, let's say, when this guy murdered, there was a certain Kohen Gadol. So again, they do due process, they bring him to court, in that process, the original Kohen Gadol passed away, they appoint a new Kohen Gadol, and then he gets a Gemara Din that he has to go into Golas. He's only going to go free with the death of the second Kohen Gadol. So Rosh Gemara asks, not immediately, where do we know this from? So Amar Rav Kani says, because the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says of a Midbar, the Yashav Ba, and they should stay, he should dwell over there in the Ir Miklat, Ad Moisa Kohen Gadol, until the death of the Kohen Gadol, Asher Moshech Eisa B'Shem HaKadosh, which he anointed him with the holy oil. Now the question is, who's the subject there? It's talking about the Ritzeach. And it's saying the Kohen Gadol, which he anointed. So the question of did he, the Ritzach, anoint the Kohen Gadol? What does that mean? Or rather, what the Pasuk is alluding to is Zeh Shenimshach B'Yamav. It means this Kohen Gadol, which was anointed in his days, what do you mean in his days? From when he was already Ritzach, that's what the Pasuk is told me. The subject is the Ritzach, the murderer. Meaning, it's like he anointed him, meaning he became a Kohen Gadol when this guy had already murdered once before, which is the case we're describing, where he only became a Kohen Gadol after he was a Ritzach. But before his Gemar Din, then we say that he's going to go be released by his death. And that the Gemar asks, we already said in Amen Aleph, the reason why we say the death of the Kohen Gadol is the reason for the release of the Ritzach, is because he should have been Mevakash Rachamim, and he didn't, and because of that such a travesty happened that this guy murdered, so therefore his release is contingent on the death of the Kohen Gadol. But in this case, the Gemara asks, my Havale, what should this Kohen Gadol have been Lamebed, have done, since this guy, this Kohen Gadol, only became a Kohen Gadol after this guy had already murdered. So why is he being punished, and that the release of this murderer is contingent upon this Kohen Gadol who became after this guy murdered, but before his Gemara Din? Says the Gemara, Ha'yilei Levakash Rachamim, he should have beseeched mercy, She'yigmer Diner L'schus, that his judgment, the verdict, should have been handed out in a non-guilty verdict. V'lei Bikash, and he didn't daven well enough, and because of that, that this guy was found guilty, and therefore, that's the flaw in this Kohen Gadol, and therefore he's liable, and it's his death that's going to be the release of this Ritzach. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, we have a tradition that Nigmar Dinei Umeis, if the verdict was handed down that this guy is liable for Golas, Umeis, and then he passed away before he gets a chance to go into Golas, we actually bring his bones over there to the Ir Miklat. Because the Pasuk says, Loshuv Lasheves Ba'aretz, to return to his dwell there in the land of the Ir Miklat ad Mois HaKohen, until the death of the Kohen. Now, Ve'ezehu Yeshiva Sheba Aretz, what is the dwelling that's in the earth, meaning as if in the earth itself, Havayim Ezekvur, that's burial, when the person is dwelling in the ground itself, we see they bring his bones over there to dwell over there in the ground itself. Now, Tanu Lehna Braisa, Meis, if the murderer dies in the city of refuge, Kodim Shemeis Kohen Gadol, before the death of Kohen Gadol, meaning he never got out. If the Kohen Gadol would die first, he'd be released. He died before the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol dies at a later point in time. So then, although we said that that's where he lives, and that's where he dies, and that's where he's buried, but when the Kohen Gadol later dies, then they bring his bones to the burial of his fathers, meaning to out of the Ari Miklat. So like it says in the Pasuk, that upon the death of the Kohen, it says, Yashav Eretzach L'Eretzach Ozasi, the murderer will be returned to the land of his ancestry, which teaches us, Ezehu Yeshiva Shiba Eretz Achuzasi, what is the settlement that's in the land of his ancestry? Havayim Zukvur, that refers to burial, similar to what we said before. When we take him there, so too regarding releasing him upon the death of the Kohen, is regarding taking his bones to bury it where his fathers are buried. Now regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following teaching. Nigmar Dinoi. If the verdict was handed down that this guy is Chayef for Galus, and then Venasa Kohen ben Gerusha ben Chalutza, but then the Kohen Gadol becomes, meaning how does it mean becomes, meaning there's testimony that comes out that he's a Chal, which is testified that he's the son of a divorcee or of a Chalutza who married a Kohen, which that makes him a Chalal, it makes him a not kosher Kohen Gadol. So Pligva Rabbam Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka. So Machalik is Rabbam Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka. Now what happens to the status of this Ritzach? Chadaimer one says, Mesa Kohuna. It's like the Kohen Gadol has passed away. It's like he died. Because it's like, we up until now, we assumed he was a Kohen Gadol. Now he can't be anymore because he turns out he's a Chal. So just like when the Kohen Gadol passed away, we said in the Mishnah, that then the Ritzach doesn't have to go in the Golas. It's like he died. We said though, when someone's there already, he gets released. So this guy, who already had the Gemara Din, and then the Kohen Gadol passed away, doesn't have to go. Here too, it's like the Kohen Gadol passed away. The other one says, no, but lakuna. It's like the Kohen Gadol was voided, meaning it was revealed retroactively that he was never Kohen Gadol in the first place. So it turns out that this murderer had his Gemara Din, had his verdict without a Kohen Gadol, which that we said, when there's no Kohen Gadol, he actually never gets out. So it's two opposites. Either one opinion saying he never goes to the Eir Miklat, and the other opinion saying that actually he goes and he never gets released. So the Gemara says, Lema beplukted Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yeshua kom Miflugah. Let's say that this machlekes Amiram is a machlekes Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yeshua. Because now we're learning the Mishnah, this trumas that says, if there was a Kohen who was standing and he was sacrificing, he was doing the avoid on the Mizbeach. And then the notification comes, witnesses come and say, hey, you might not know this, but your mother was a Gerusha who married your father Kohen or Ben Chalutza. Turns out he's a Chal. He's not appropriate to do the avoid. So Rabbi Lazar, I mean, he says, Kol karbanos shehikriv psulin. So all the karbanos that he brought are invalid. He was never a kosher kain. So all of them are pasul. Rabbi Yeshua says no, it's kasher. Says the Gemara. Now he obviously can't do avodah anymore, but what he did up until now is kasher. Says the Gemara. Mandam amesa. So seemingly the one of these two amiram, Rabbi Ami or Yitzchak Nafka, who said that it's like the Kohen Gadol passed away now. Meaning it's not that we say that he was never a kohen in the first place. Not batel mafreya. Said he died right now. That seemingly is Rabbi Yeshua, who says the same thing. Although really he was a chol all along, but since we only found out now, it's like now that he stopped being. But what was up until now is kasher. Mandam a batel, the one who says that no, it's void. The whole thing originally was never good. Is Rabbi Eliezer, who also says the same thing that all the avodas up until now are pasul. So assuming this machlekes tamiram is this machlekes tanoi. Interesting. Gemara says on top of Yud Beis and Aleph, no. Alib Rabbi Eliezer kolam aliplig. You're right. According to Rabbi Eliezer, no one's going to disagree. In other words, the one who says mesa is for sure like Rabbi Yeshua. Cannot be like Rabbi Eliezer, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no one that could say that as if mesa, as if it's like he just died right now. Because since he's saying even regarding the avoidus of the kohen, that even what was done up until now retroactively are all possible, for sure he's saying that this person is not a kohen. So you can't say that's like there was a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemara Din, and like he's just dying right now. Rabbi Eliezer is saying clearly that he was never considered a Kohen. We just didn't know. Ki pligi, however, says the Gemara, but it doesn't have to be necessarily that one's like Rabbi Eliezer, one's like Rabbi Yeshua. Ki pligi, alib Rabbi Yeshua, you could say that they're both disagreeing in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Because mandam amesik Rabbi Yeshua, the one who says that it's like he dies now, the Kohen Gadol, when we find that he's a Chal. That's like Rabbi Yeshua also says the same thing, that the Avodah B'Til now is good. It's just like stopping Mikan Labba. But still, the Gemara says, Amandam Abatla, even the one who says that we say that it was void, that this guy was never Kohen Gadol in the first place, you could say that he's even like Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Ad kan lakam Rabbi Yeshua Hasam, where do we find Rabbi Yeshua over there that he says that all the Avaydis up until now were kosher? That's only because the Chsivd is a pasuk that teaches us this halach in Devarim. It says, Baruch Hashem Chela, Hashem shall bless his might, but also the word Chela we'll see is from the word of Chalal, Ufoyel Yod of Tirtza, and the actions of his hands will be willing, which teaches us, afil chalalin shabai, even the desecrated kahanim that are there in the kahuna that what? Hashem will say that his avodis are kosher. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. That it will be tirtzeh, it will find willingness in front of Hashem. Aval halacha, but over here regarding all the other halachas, afali b'shua maida, that this opinion says even b'shua would agree that no, this kohen or kohen gadol is not a kohen, and therefore we're saying that this ultimately turns out that there was never kohen gadol. It's only regarding this the avodis that we find the special heter. But in general, we're not going to say that, and therefore that mandama could say that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's like there was never kohen gadol, and therefore this guy had a kamar din without a kohen gadol, which the halacha is, as we said in the Mishnah, that he goes to the Ar Mikla and he never gets released.